really we should first discuss who you can give, who can take Maaser Ani, for what you can give Maaser Kesafim, right? What are the proper tzedakas or whatever uses of Maaser money? And then who comes first or whatever. But he has it in the opposite order. I'm not 100% sure why. I'll keep the order he has. He wants now to discuss, once you know you can give Maaser to various causes, okay, who comes first? You have a million things to give Maaser to. You only have a certain limited amount of money to give, most of us. So you have to divide it up, and that's why it's important to make a cheshbon of where you give your tzedakah money, because if you squander it on the lesser important things, then you're not going to be able to give it to the more important things. So you should ask shailas and make a cheshbon of what's more important in the chain of who and what your tzedakah should go to. So here, the first thing he's talking about who. Okay. In other words, given that the people that we're talking about are fit to receive Maaser Kesafim, your Maaser money, who comes first? So he says like this. Ikar Maaser Kesafim hu l'chalko l'aniyim. The main use of Maaser Kesafim, not the only use, but the main use, and that's what we're going to get to at a different time. The main use is to use it for tzedakah for poor people. Who those poor people are, they're Talmidei Chachamim, people are learning, not people learning, whatever. That's a different consideration. But it shouldn't be used for other kinds of things, even if it's mutter to use them, right? But the main thing is to give it to aniyim, to poor people who need the money. Okay. For instance, could be you can give it to a shul, right, that and for a Sefer Torah that you want to have to give it, but you want to use Maaser money for what's it called, helping the shul get a Sefer Torah, right? Which is legitimate, but it could be that's not the foremost use you should use your Maaser for. You could use a portion of it, but that shouldn't be the major thing. Use your Maaser rather than giving it to poor people. Okay, so that's the first thing.
You need an organization that helps poor people.
Yeah, that's so like giving it to poor people.
Even if it's not in name, it's not what it's worth, like a kollel.
Yeah, a kollel l'chor is giving it to poor people. So they should be able to learn. We'll get to that. But that's called giving it to poor people. Poor people, who's considered poor also, we'll see. Okay. However, right, right away off the bat, the first person who's poor that you should give to is yourself. If you don't have enough to live on, and we'll see in 1 second what that means, right? Then you, your wife, and children come first. Okay? You come first. Even before your wife and children. And when you say wife over here, it seems to me like all of this, even though he doesn't qualify it anywhere, we'll see that the wife's relatives are different than your relatives. You means the one who earned the money. So usually, it's the husband that earns the money, and halachically, it's his money, and even his wife's earnings are really his, min ha-Torah, min ha-Midrabanan at least, and except for monies that Chazal say that are hers. Then it's hers, then she's the you, right? Like they say on the Seres HaDibros, somebody used to send his wife to work on Shabbos, because it doesn't say anywhere the wife. It says, Ata, Uvincha, Uvitecha, Avdecha, Amoskel, and Techa. Does it say anything about a wife? No. So he used to send his wife to work on Shabbos, because it's not included. What's the answer? The answer is, Ata is the wife, too. Right? She is the Ata the Torah is speaking to, except she's At. And she also has children, or whatever, they can have slaves, or whatever. The Torah is speaking to men and women equally. So the ata is not necessarily the man. The ata means you, whoever the Torah is speaking to, and the people that you have or whatever. So it's not a wife that she's chayiv in Shmira Shabbos. It's out her own chiyuv. And children are talking about under bar mitzvah and under, unless, so the Torah is not speaking to them directly, speaking to them as the parent's responsibility. But if the child is over bar mitzvah, then he's the ata. And he may have children later on or whatever. He's not Bincha anymore, he's Ata. Okay, in any case, that's clear. Same thing over here. I think that whenever we're going to speak about monies, right, wife's money, the husband, we're talking about the fact that we're purely halachic, which may not be what it is today, the money belongs to the husband. And the husband has responsibility to support his wife. But it's not her money. So therefore, it's his money, and he has to now have the priorities of what to do with his money, legabi, people who are related to him. Okay. However, if the wife has her own money, then it applies to her as the prime person that we're talking about. Or, some people say that since we write a tznoyim today that says v'yishlatum b'nechseim shava b'shava, so some say that's only a nice shtar, but it's not, doesn't have any really monetary clout, and therefore the halacha is the mashukani yishukani b'ayim. And some say no, since we write that tznoyim and we make a kinyan and we sign it, the money is no longer the husband's money; it's the husband and wife's money together. That's what you said in the tznoyim. Yishlatum b'nechseim shava b'shava. So the wives would like to understand the halacha like the second way I said, and the husband, I'm sure, would like to understand it the first way, and I'm not going to tell you what the psak is one way or the other, but find it out, whatever. In any case, so a woman, on the other hand, in today's society, not necessarily here, but wives who may are the prominent wage earners in the family. Many wives have better positions than their husbands do, make more money. So the wife then has the prerogative of saying, don't support me, and I will keep my earnings. Right? So I'll support myself. She has that prerogative, and if she does that, then for sure, it's not the husband's money who's giving miser from, it's her money, she has to give the miser. And if she decides that she wants to share it with her husband, then it's both of their money. So, what we're going to speak about, a wife or whatever, right? The wife basically is the primary person if it's her money, and if it's not her money, then she's secondary, and the same thing goes if it's her money and not her husband's money. Okay, so now, what's it called? A person, he gives an example here. He says, let's say a person needs 500 shekel a month to live on. Okay, I don't know why that's an example.
Let's say, a long time.
Right. Let's say, right. What is a book written? I don't know. In any case, he says, okay? He needs, we'll see in 1 second, that's not necessarily the case. What? And he makes, 500 shekel, 510 shekel. Let's say he needs 500 shekel a year to live on. That's what he says. Right? And he makes 510 shekel a year. So he takes off 51 shekel for miser. Okay? Now he doesn't have the 500 shekel he needs to live on. Right? He has,
missing 41.
He's missing 49. Right? 49 shekel. Okay. So the 49 shekel he can take for himself. Because that's what he needs to live on. Now he has 2 shekel left to give miser. To give other people. Okay, that would be, okay, now what is considered not being able to being poor? So some say it means that you own whatever you don't have to eat bread and water. And maybe to live in, the cheapest kind of place. I don't know, go live in a cave, live in the subway. I don't know what the cheapest kind of place is. So it's really absurd to make the cheshbon like that, and therefore many poskim hold that has nothing to do with barest necessities. It has to do with time, place, like we explained in the past, right? Where you live, what is considered the minimum normal existence, meaning people have to at least pay rent or pay a mashkanta, right, to be able to live somewhere. You can't live in the subway, right, even though there are people who do that. You can't just take up, residence in a bus stop. Like I see people sometimes, in front of the Tamir, some guy who lives there. He may put up his, he has a house there. I see him every time. That's his house. Most people can't live like that. And, especially if a family, you've got a really big bus stop. what is the normal amount for a person to live and feel that he can survive normally. So it changes from time to place to location in the world and to a person's own upbringing, what he feels he needs, right? He was used to a better lifestyle, then he's used to that, he needs that. So it's a very subjective thing. And therefore, if a person doesn't have that, where he can live like a normal person in that place at that time, then he can take his own miser and to make up what he needs to get to that level. And anything more than that, he can give to other people. So that's the first thing. You come first. Efes lo ye b'cho evyon, you're first. If you, your family, your wife and children, immediate family, right, whatever you need to be able to live a normal, but a person should, you know, not be, in this case, be machmer, you know, to the side where I need more and try to do with less in order to free up money to give to others. But if you absolutely need it, and if you're not going to be able to live a normal life, your wife, your children, whatever, not going to be able to live it. The children need a yalkut, but they don't call it that anymore. Teak, whatever they call it, right? They can't go to school without it because the children make fun of them, right? They walk in with a paper bag, you know, with their books in it. So then that you need to get to them. That's their normal necessity in life. The same thing goes with other things, to a point. And therefore, that's the first thing. And if a person doesn't have that, he can take that money, miser money for himself, and whatever extra give to others. If he's not sure, then sometimes I tell people they should loan the money. Keep a cheshbon, and Amir Hashem, you win the raffle, you get a better job, whatever, you'll pay it back. But you're loaning it b'li neder, that if, in the fact, in the end, you won't be able to get it back, you took it as tzedakah, and if you can, you'll pay it back something. Even that's b'li neder.
When we talk about immediate family, is that all b'nei beso? What if you have other people somach al shulchan, or you have a sibling, grandchild?
Parent, see, that's to come. But right now we're talking about immediate, the people you're responsible, and children only up till six. After that, they're a different din. Children till six. That's wife, children till six, and the husband. That's the nuclear family that we're talking about.